This is Bucky Bacall with the Backyard Chicken Broadcast. I've been thinking a lot about the Great Depression lately. I know I'm not the only one. For sure, when mainstream media covers the financial status of the United States and globally, we'll hear comparisons to the so-called Great Depression. And although the creative arts have been mining the territory pretty steadily since the day of the market crash in 29, it seems to me there are more references in the culture now than there were during the so-called boom year. New York City theater world is certainly exploring it in this season's plays. Last month, I went to see an off-Broadway show called Buddy, Can You Spare a Dime? You can guess what that was about. More recently, I saw an experimental piece about all kinds of things that unexpectedly, if deftly, segued into a section about the economy and cutbacks. I've also noticed quite a few young musicians emulating music from the 30s. Indeed, I make my contribution in that arena. During lunch hours from my day job in Midtown Manhattan, I head down to the subway with my ukulele, in my troubadour persona, Roberto Buscarsi, to perform Depression-era songs. My experience is that my strongest audience response is when I do songs that combine themes of financial struggle with themes of love. I can't give you anything but love. The clouds will soon roll by. Pennies from heaven. That kind of stuff. Indeed, listeners give up small amounts of their own hard-earned cash to my open ukulele case. Whether or not we're headed toward a similar period of history is apparently a credible debate, but there at least seems to be consensus it's possible. Of course, for me, it all comes back to chickens, and at the same time as references to the Depression increase, a sign at the very least that we're collectively anxious another is upon us, so does interest in chickens. The why to that seems obvious to me, because chickening is a low startup cost and relatively low maintenance activity that generates food in the form of eggs, the possibility of a little meat, and by enhancing gardening through weed and pest control, fertilization, and compost acceleration. And one of the reasons we know this is that it's well documented that keeping flocks of chickens around was a common survival technique in Depression-era nations, and indeed for cash-poor folks, almost universally. Fictional and non-fictional accounts of the Depression frequently mention chickens. As just one example, former U.S. President Jimmy Carter talks at length about how his family relied on chickens during the Great Depression in his memoirs. He surely remembers the promise of the presidential administration in the White House during his childhood, Herbert Hoover, promising a chicken in every pot. Technically, Hoover never made that exact promise. It was used in a widespread newspaper ad promoting Hoover's party, the Republicans, generally. But it came to be associated with Hoover. Proletariat accounts mention chickens as much, if not more so, than presidential memoirs. And if you have an eye for chickens like I do, you've of course noticed the obligatory chicken running around the yard scene in movies about the Depression era. And most importantly, the references are not just rural. If anything, the whole point is that hard times encourages urban folks to have chickens as well. What worries me, though, is that chickening has thus become unfairly tied to associations with sacrifice and hard times. Funny how the human mind works. In my experience, talk to anyone who used to keep chickens, and they have fond memories of it. Furthermore, they miss it. And yet these same people often completely buy into the strange notion, perhaps the work of the marketing departments of agribusiness, convince folks that chickens are swell, but they ain't for the city. And they are certainly not for people who can afford to buy eggs at the grocery store. That's why the part of the Bacall agenda I always shine the big multicolor stage lights on is the part about having a good time. It's about growing food that tastes better than what's available at the grocery store, which means for the most part grown from a stew of chemicals and roughly transported from hundreds, even thousands of miles away. And for us, it's about being in the garden, or in my case, in my apartment, with hilarious, fascinating, and adorable gardening assistants. In other words, chickens. Which brings me to an entirely other Depression reference. Chickens not only help humans survive economic depression, but also psychological depression. When I lived in Idaho, for all the good things that happened to me there, including my personal discovery of chickening, it was overall a tough time. For one, turns out the West is not always the best place for a stranger to come to town expecting to find honest work. Especially not one without any blood relatives in the area, and not quick to join a church or establish a political party. Chickening, and all the eggs and the increased garden production that went with it, was the main reason my partner and I were able to feed ourselves on part-time, low-wage jobs for 6 years. Of equal importance, chickens were a reason to get up in the morning when I felt hopeless about either the possibility of making a life in Boise or of figuring a way out. As you know, I enjoyed the chickens' antics and our interactions, but I also was acutely aware of my obligation to care for them, and the fact that they would, in return, give me a degree of security that, if nothing else, I could eat another day. Things turned out all right for me, and I got through the rough patch. And soon after I moved to New York City, I started noticing a rash of articles in the New York Times and other media about new farmers. And the articles all, either directly or indirectly, referenced psychological depression. My friend Claudia noticed this too and came to me one morning and said, "Hey Bucky, have you been reading those articles? Farming causes depression." She had it backwards, of course. People struggling with depression were drawn to agriculture because it was restoring their sense of connection to their own survival, empowering them in fundamental ways, and giving them a reason to get up every day in order to take part in the codependent relationship that is agriculture. And finally, it's not just that small-scale agriculture and chickening, which is the ultimate expression of small-scale agriculture, is an effective treatment for both physical and mental depression. The fact is, it's also a preventive. If you're already chickening, you're better prepared for any fiscal downturn, personal, national, or global, and you're already having a good time. So it's always the time and place for chickening. Ciao for now, from Bucky Bacall. Bucky Bacall's Backyard Chicken Broadcast was produced by the Sagebrush Variety Show with support from Boise Community Radio and the Green Institute.